You're listening to Arts and More on WMUK. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Friday marks the 100th anniversary of a huge yet largely forgotten event in Great Lakes history, the wreck of the SS Eastland. Its story is tragic. June 24th, 1915. Thousands board the Eastland from Chicago, including hundreds of Western Electric workers. And then, while still docked, the Eastland tips over, with passengers still on board. People rush to help, but more than 800 die.
And it is considered the Great Lakes' worst disaster in terms of loss of life. And how did I not know about it?
That's historian Caitlin Perry Dial. She considers herself pretty knowledgeable about Great Lakes history. She's going for her PhD at Western Michigan University, and she used to work at the Heritage Museum in St. Joseph. That's where she found out about the wreck.
And in this box, there was a category called disasters. I saw these pictures of bodies being pulled out of the water, a boat tipped on its side, and then I wanted to just learn more about it.
This wreck was huge, Dial thought. So how had she never heard of it? She kept digging to find out.
The more research I did, I realized that there was a huge question burning that I needed to answer. Why isn't the Eastland more memorable? What happened in the almost 100 years since the wreck that made people forget about it?
Those questions became the basis for Dial's PhD thesis. Quickly, she got an answer to the first part. Dial talked with historians and descendants of survivors, and they were honest. They told her people just don't care about an event if famous people aren't a part of it.
You think about the Titanic, and you always remember people like John Jacob Astor and those who were very rich on the boat. Whereas with the Eastland, you had a lot of working class immigrants with no notable name to really grasp onto and claim into memory. Well, this is my office, and this is a lot of my research here on the ground. This is how madness or genius works, I guess.
Dial shows me her workspace. It looks like a tornado of Great Lakes history. Thick folders of court records stuck up along a wall. On the ground sit three-ring binders full of oral histories from children and grandchildren of Eastland survivors and their rescuers. Dial says what struck her was how these stories were passed down through every generation. They're stories from people like Dave Nelson. As a kid, Nelson heard about the Eastland from his grandfather, who was a welder in Chicago. And when the Eastland fell, he ran straight to the docks, torch in hand, and tried to help. With that torch, he carved holes in the boat's hull. He pulled survivors out, one by one, for 3 days straight.
And what's really special about his story is the captain came up to him and declared that you have to stop working on my ship. You cannot cut holes in the ship. And my grandfather said, I have to. There are people trapped below. And a newspaper reporter was right behind him and the captain. And, of course, he wrote it down, brought it to his paper, and the story actually went from Chicago to New York, to San Francisco, and into Europe.
Dial says this is the way that a lot of the memories of the Eastland wreck were preserved, parent to child to grandchild. Then those children, like Nelson, shared their stories. They joined together and formed organizations like the Eastland Memorial Society.
And so their experiences or their family experiences during the Eastland disaster are now influencing the way Eastland is being remembered.
Do you write it or carve it or burn it?
Now, those stories are slowly leaking into mainstream culture, too. First, it was a novel about the Eastland in 2004, and then in 2012, that novel became a musical.
How do you ask a river to even know you're there?
This historical fiction obviously isn't the same as if someone had recorded the memories of the Eastland back in, say, 1930 or 1940. But Dial says they're still memories.
In my study, I call that prosthetic memory. So you think about a prosthetic arm. It's not a true arm, but it's there. So with prosthetic memory, it's not a true memory that's passed through family, but it's an emotional connection, and it becomes a memory through different means.
And Dial says for some descendants of survivors, that's enough. You can learn more about the Eastland wreck and hear full interviews at our website, wmuk.org. For WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg.